Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Hi, this is Ben McKay from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean.
Thank you, Ben McKay. Welcome to another episode. If this is your first time listening to the show, then welcome. My name is Dean Vasek, and you can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. I'm also on TikTok as well, now at Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight, I welcome back lads, Frank and Jesse, to talk about our game on Sunday against St Kilda, which is a bit of a weird game, wasn't it, to be honest with you listeners? It was very strange to not have a goal at half time and only be about three goals down. And then we, you know, at the start of the third quarter, we got a couple of quick goals and we're right in the game until a couple of little ill-disciplined acts. And yeah, probably never really looked like it after that. Anyways, I won't hold you up anymore. I'll bring on Jesse and Frank right now. So tonight, I welcome back Frank and Jesse. Thoughts are with Marco Lowe, who has caught COVID, maybe from getting an illness from watching Sunday's game. I'm not too sure. Boys, we have a lot to go through. Frank, what did you make of that game on Sunday?
As we were just saying off air, Dean, a really strange game. Hard to fathom not scoring a goal in a closed stadium, but... It seemed to go through both teams as far as efficiency in the forward line went, though, where they were both equally horrible, that we were just more horrible than them. But all in all, I was pleased to see a brighter effort. Some of the young kids that came in, I thought, did enough to hold their spot. So it could have been far, far worse than what it was. So all in all, mate, I walked away thinking... there was some, you know, green shoots there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, like you said, effort was the main thing. Jesse, how did you see it?
Yeah, look, I thought that was pretty, you know, pretty spot on. It wasn't a game for the ages. You definitely weren't watching the repeat anytime soon. Look, I think the main thing was we'd been really poor defensively the weeks prior. Our defense. And we've spoken about this, but our defence did not look settled at all. And I thought our defence looked settled. McKay looked like he had finally got a bit of, you know, match conditioning back. He had kind of got the speed of the game. I thought he played a pretty decent game. I thought Core actually had a solid game as well. I know we'll talk about the back line soon. But I thought defensively we played really well. We were able to shut down their forward line. Both teams obviously weren't efficient in front of goal, but you know, when they were getting it forward, we were able to defend and repel quite well. We just unfortunately couldn't score.
Yeah, I mean, interesting, Frank. Were you a bit worried that at half time that we're actually going to kick a goal?
Very worried, Dean. not because we weren't generating opportunities. We just seemed to miss. Absolutely everything, set shots, on the run, snaps. We just didn't seem to be able to generate a mark in the goal square or something where you just break the ice. So, yeah, I was really concerned that St Kilda might get a run on and break our back. And then we would look really, really horrible, being, you know, 9 points or something to 11 goals. But I thought, strangely enough, I thought we were in the game for most of the game and had a few other things gone our way, or we hadn't have been silly when we didn't need to be, I think we could have made them really, really nervous. But yeah, it's weird that we're saying that when you don't kick a goal at half time. But yeah, Dean, I was a little bit concerned that we may not score at all.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about a couple of silly things. Jesse, I know Jai Simkin didn't do much to warrant a 50-metre penalty, but it's not an isolated incident. He did it during the course of the year against Fremantle as well, where he gets himself involved in difficult situations where he'll react or retaliate for a teammate and then reverse a free kick or give away a 50. He's got to be better as a leader, doesn't he, than that. I know it was a bit stiff, but still, don't put yourself in that sort of situation.
He's a very emotional character. Mm-hmm. I think we knew that. He is still young. He is at times a bit immature. The thing with Jai Simkin is, as you said, it isn't an isolated incident. And I've watched him the last few years. There have been times that I've actually thought he's been lucky to not be suspended. When he gets frustrated in particular, he goes for these tackles where he kind of swings the arm in when he tackles. I remember a few years ago, he caught one of the Collingwood players high, and I thought it was definitely a suspension. I don't even think he got fined. So I actually think he's been lucky. I think for the last couple of years, he when he gets frustrated, he gets emotional, and he tends to try and lash out a little bit. So, look, he is the captain. He needs to pull his head in. He shouldn't be doing that. Look, he's allowed to be a character. He's allowed to be emotional. You know, he obviously bleeds blue and white, and he's passionate about the club, and I love that. But he has to pick and choose his moments and how he vents his frustration, because you are right. It was a pretty trivial thing. I thought being fined for it was pretty silly. I don't know why he was fined for it, but you don't need to be doing that during a game. The one against Fremantle was really poor, and it cost us the week after not having him in the midfield. So he's just got to be, he's just got to be better than that. Like you said, he just needs to pull his head in a little bit and not get caught up in situations like that. Because now players from other clubs are going to know that you can get a rise out of him, and you don't want that, especially from your captain.
No, 100%. I totally agree with all that. Yeah, look, it's a bit disappointing. And like you said, you know, to miss a game against Hawthorn, which after two wins, you know, probably looking back, you know, and the way we operate our midfield with, you know, LDU and Simkin in there, it's a lot different. So, yeah, and umpires sort of look for that. They look for any excuse to give away a 50-metre penalty to stop the retaliation. And, yeah, look, Frank, I didn't even know till in the end of the game that there was only three umpires out there. Did you know that? I thought it was still four.
No, I didn't notice that, Dean. I did read an article about there being no emergency umpire, but I didn't realise that. I did see one of the umpires take a fall sort of as we were exiting, I think, defensive 50 in the third quarter, but I wasn't aware that the fourth umpire didn't come out.
Did you know that? No, that's the first I've heard of that. I didn't know that was the situation. I heard something about an umpire falling over, but I just figured that there would be an emergency umpire available. I wasn't aware that no one came on.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, they didn't umpire any better with four than they do with three. So, yeah, no. Look, there were some, you know, 50-50 decisions that didn't go away, unfortunately. But, I guess St Kilda can make the same argument as well. But we'll move on. We'll get to the positives. We'll go to the back line, like you said, Jesse, before. Ben McKay, I felt like, was back to his best with 10 intercepts, including 7 intercept marks. Harry Sheasel, fantastic. 30 touches with 488 metres gained. How did you see the back line this week, Frank?
Improved, Dean. Yeah, I thought that they settled a bit better. When Ben's got his radar on and he intercepts, it makes us look so much better and so much more reassured across the back line. So that was a big plus. Sheasel, again, really, really good. Zeeble defended really well. I mean, Jack is Jack. I think that he still invited pressure a few times when he didn't need to with some of those kicks across the back line. But, you know, that's Jack's game. And, we know he brings that. Thought Cole was pretty good, Dean. I thought, you know, his pressure was good. He seemed to be up and about. The only one that I thought was Perez at times, fumbled a bit. Overran the footy a couple of times, but first game back. But all in all, I thought the back line did a terrific job.
Yeah, definitely. Perez was interesting. I think Rick summed it up pretty well in his article. He looks like a good kick, looks like a very good technique, but for some reason he kept missing targets. It was either going out on a full or was going short of his player. So not too sure what that was about, but generally he's usually a good field kick. But hopefully he continues to keep getting the game and gets a good run at it for the next month. Jesse, do you think having the three talls back there instead of a four made a difference? Like you had McKay, Cause, Zeeble with Logue up forward. Did that make us a bit more mobile in the back half and were able to generate a bit more run?
Oh, it's a good question, isn't it? I mean, I didn't like seeing Logue forward. I think his best position is a backman. I think we can all agree he didn't offer a lot forward, or you know, enough forward. So I think his best position is a defender. I think that's why he came across, and I think he'd be a little bit annoyed to be playing forward at least for an extended period. So I would still like to persevere with, you know, the him Mackay core mix and get that right, because I think that's a mix that can take us forward. And if Mackay happens to leave, it means that Logue is that person going forward, you know, as the main defender. But that said, there may be something to it. I mean, we played well the first few weeks when we didn't have Mackay there. I thought our defense looked better on the weekend when, again, one of them played forward. So, I think in the weeks where all three played down back, we did look too static. I think the problem is that when you've got the three of them plus Siebel, plus Luke McDonald, who isn't overly quick, and then you've got Cheezel, you don't have a lot of other pace, you know, a lot of pace down there. And that does make us a bit slow. So, it's an interesting one. It's one that, you know, against certain forward lines where they're not overly tall, you may choose to play one of those three players forward. But yeah, against a Brisbane, or I know it didn't work against Brisbane, but against a Brisbane or a team that has tall forwards, assuming that you want those three in form with continuity playing with one another in that position, so then you can counter that. And yeah, I wouldn't want to play with that mix too much. I understand the necessity of doing it at the moment, but yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Ideally, I think you have those three and then you try to add a bit of pace around them.
Yeah, that's I think that's the issue. I mean, we tried Aaron Hall and he got 30 touches, but then he butchered the ball and we don't have too much more. I guess Goda, when he comes back, is probably that player that could come in. But outside of that, we don't have too much, you know, line breakers. I mean, Harry Sheezel is a creator. He'll make things happen, but he's not overly quick, is he? He's a very much a Nick Dacos type of player back there. Jack Siebel, we mentioned him, 36 touches, 18 marks, 94% disposal efficiency. He's a real general of that back line right now, isn't he?
Yeah, and as we touched on, Dean, I think his attack on the contested ball is fantastic. He plays above his height, and he's done a terrific job. Again, not to labour on it, Dean, but I think sometimes those stats get a little bit padded with the way we exit defensive 50. But I can't question his commitment at the ball or the loose ball or the contest. Time and again, he put his body on the line. So he's been, you know, you're asking someone like a Simkin to set an example with his behaviour. Well, I think Jack sets a really good, sort of example on what's required as far as committing your body to the contest. So, yeah, he was terrific again on the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, he's still got his leadership. Whether he has a captain title next to it doesn't really matter. He's still, very much vocal out on the ground. You can't hear him, even in the stands. He's always talking and yelling at his players, always encouraging on the bench. So, yeah, no, his leadership, has been as good as any other year previously. And, yeah, he seems to be really enjoying the freedom of the back line. After going forward last year and looking like his career was almost done, but he's reinvented the wheel again, and full credit to him. Jesse, we'll go to the midfield battle. Lots of clearances from the game, but we might as well talk about it right away. You've mentioned this before. Are you worried about Ben Cunnington now? Seven disposals in three quarters and subbed out again for the second game in a row at Marvel.
It's a worry. It is a serious worry now. I think a few people on Twitter and our socials were recognising it. Before this, I think they were kind of giving him a chance. I know I've called it out a couple of times. I think he needs a break. I know Clarko said, you know, he's got some tickets that he can spend before we, you know, he's had a great career, and he's obviously been through a massive battle, and he's been one of our best players, but we're carrying him at the moment. He was good last week against Melbourne, but I don't think he was overly damaging. I thought his numbers were good, but I didn't think he was, you know, the most damaging player. He can't chase the opposition when they have the ball. I distinctly saw one or two efforts on the weekend where the opposition, who was maybe 10 metres away, got it, and he didn't even bother trying to chase them. So his pressure's off. He's not getting clearances consistently, not getting possessions consistently. Against fast teams, he's a liability. At Marvel, he's a liability. He doesn't look 100% fit to me. He looks low of confidence. I would play him in the VFL for a few weeks, let him get some confidence up, put him on a bit of a fitness program, let him get a run at it. I don't think, you know, someone was saying that it's his last season, that they think he's done. I'm not going to go nearly as far as that. I think he's got some good football to go. He just needs to get some form, and he just needs to get some confidence and some fitness. We can't keep carrying him, though. LDU is obviously carrying a bit of an injury, so he's not playing as well as he was. Our midfield is a bit battered at the moment, dare say it. And I just don't think we can play him. I think we need more pace in the midfield. That's something that we've been lacking for a while, and having him in there with LDU and Simpkin around him, who aren't the fastest, especially LDU at the moment, isn't looking like he's got his normal, you know, burst out. And I just, yeah, I do have worries, not long term, but in the short term, I don't think we can carry him.
Yeah, he did sign on for 2 years, so he's contracted till 2024. But I think Ben Cunnington's the type of player, if he feels he can't contribute and it's taken too much out of him, then he'd probably step away from that contract and leave, call it a day. Frank, what do you think? Jesse's not the only one calling for him to be dropped. Could he be in trouble for this week's game?
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. I think the thing that's really making it difficult is that both times he's been subbed out, we've looked better. When the subs come on, looked a bit sharper, a bit more dynamic. I know Lazaro didn't do a hell of a lot, but I think the dynamic of the midfield has sort of changed when he's gone off. So that's never a good sign. But I think, yeah, absolutely. I think he's in trouble. Or he's probably around the corner. Phillips as well. Clarkson has said a number of times, he's a clearance beast. That's what he's there for. And he's just not doing it. I noticed it in the practice game against the Bulldogs when we tried to move him to full forward, how ineffective it was with the Bulldogs backs running off him out of the defensive 50 and him unable to chase. And just on Jesse's point there against Melbourne, he got some good numbers there. But I think in the end, Melbourne would just thought, look, Petrarca, Oliver and Brayshaw will match anything that he does. So we're not going to worry too much about shutting him down.
No. Look, I mean, they've got their own strengths. And they've got a strong midfield, so they're not too worried about what the opposition's doing. Look, you know, I mean, I don't think he's going to get any quicker in the time being for the rest of his career. So it is a bit of a concern, especially when that ball is on the outside on a fast track. And like you said, Jesse, there was a couple of times, and you, Frank, as well, there was a couple of times where the ball did, where he was forward and the ball did go, you know, it was, you know, he stood side to side next to someone. Where the ball's 20 metres away and, you know, finished 10 metres behind him. Yeah, it is a bit of a concern. There's no doubt about that. But with what he's gone through as well, you could certainly understand it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the coming weeks with him because, yeah, it is at a real precarious sort of stage. Jesse, LDU, you talked about him. He might be carrying a bit of an injury, but once he crossed that white line, you declared 100% fit. How do you see his game? Outside of got caught a few times. I mean, 25 touches, did some shank kicks as well. Obviously, did some good things. What did you make of his overall game?
Maybe we're marking him a bit highly because of how good his first few weeks were, but. Yeah, it was a bit of a I think he only went at about 50% disposal efficiency. And, you know, he had, I think it was like 50% handballs and 50% kicks or so. So, you know, that's a bit of a worry. Yeah, I thought he was really messy with it. He wasn't his normal self. He wasn't bursting away with it. You know, I think he had some decent meters gained, but like you said, some of them were just long bomb shank kicks. He had, you know, four or five or maybe even six turnovers. It was a very messy game by him. He missed that goal, you know, towards the end of the game. It would have been really, really important. I think it was a pretty critical point. So, yeah, look, he obviously had a brilliant first few weeks and then got injured prior to the Hawks game and hasn't really come back at the level he was in the first two. I just don't think he's recovered 100% from that first game, from that injury that he had going into the Hawks game. I think that he's been carrying a niggle. It's not giving him the same burst, and thus he's kind of bombing and shanking his footy a little bit. He's not getting the ball as much. He's not being as clean with it. So it is hurting us. But as you said, if he's fit enough to get on the park and play football, he needs to be performing to a certain level. So I think he's having decent games of football, but I would like to see him not bomb the ball away as much. Try and take another option. You know, if he can't burst away from the stoppages at the moment, try and get a handball out or something to someone who can.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, at the moment, he's just a bit off, isn't he, at the moment, in certain areas, as opposed to the start of the year. And the bar is pretty very high for him as well. Frank, Liam Shields had 28 touches and was fantastic, I thought. He might get another year the way he's going right now.
Yeah, absolutely, Dean. Yeah, he's been fantastic. And not only has he got a lot of the ball, set some really, really good examples of committing yourself to a contest and the 1% stuff. I think he's been absolutely fantastic. And I don't think I saw him playing more than a dozen games at the start of the year, but I'm happy to be proven wrong there. I think he's been outstanding obviously, I don't know what he offers exactly on field as far as a voice and leadership goes. But some of his actions, I think, have been, particularly for a guy that's achieved what he has, he could probably sit back and go, look, I'm just collecting a paycheck. I'm not putting my head over this one, or I'm not backing into this pack. But he does it consistently, and I think he sets a great example.
Yeah. Look, I agree with everything there. Yeah, no, I thought he's really good on Sunday as well. And I don't even think he was convinced that he was going to play every game so far this year. But, you know, judging by what he was saying in practice matches and intra-club matches, he just thought, I'll play some games in the VFL if they need me, I'll play as a sub, whatever they need me to do. But, at the moment, he's probably coming in top 10 at best and fairest right now. Jesse, are you worried that some of our best players for the game were Diebel, Shields, Goldstein? Now, he won the ruck battle with 27 hitouts, 16 disposals, 87% disposal efficiency. I thought he was bringing around the ground as well.
Yeah, look, to answer that initial question, am I, you know, yes, it is a bit of a worry. If you told me that Liam Shield was, you know, almost going to be probably our best midfielder on the weekend, I would have been worried. Yeah. You know what the biggest worry about Liam Shields was? Is that he had 9 tackles, which is fantastic. That's awesome. But, you know, we had a number of players who didn't lay a tackle on the weekend. I think we had something like 8 players who didn't lay a tackle. Well, the Saints didn't have a single player who didn't not lay a tackle. We've talked about this before. Our tackling is poor. Our pressure is poor. You know, to the point made, his pressure is really good. He shows how to crack in. He smothers, tackles, etc. He fights. So, you know, that's awesome for him. And it was really good to see, but it is a worry that, you know, him, Goldstein, Zeeble, the same, you know, the veterans of the team, the, you know, probably the 3 best players. You can chuck Sheasel in there, probably, but it shouldn't be the youngest bloke and probably the 3 oldest blokes who are the best out there. There is still a gap in our there is still a gap of quality in the team, especially, and we've known this for a while because of the previous administration. We've got older blokes, and then we don't really have much of a core in that middle age. I'm talking 25 to 30 mark. You know, we know that's non-existent almost in our club. So most of it is made up with those emerging players, you know, Simpkin, LDU, you know, Larky, etc., and then a bunch of kids. So we don't have that gap that should be holding us in good stead. But yes, it is a worry. It is definitely a worry. Good for those guys. I've already made my apology to Jack Siebel, and he was absolutely fantastic. He's in my super coach team. He was absolutely fantastic. Liam Shields was fantastic. You know, Goldie. I really liked the ruck battle between Goldie and Marshall until Marshall, unfortunately, got injured. You obviously don't want to see that. But, you know, I thought it was a really, really good ruck battle between one of the, you know, the up-and-coming, you know, dominant young rucks of the comp and Goldie, who I thought was solid. I think Goldie laid something like 5 or 6 tackles as well. So, you know, those three really cracked in, and that's, you know, that's good to see. They may go on. Who knows? But yeah, you'd like to see more out of that, you know, that younger, some of that younger brigade.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, pretty well said, you know, and fair points with all that sort of thing. Now we'll go to the forward line, Frank. This is probably going to be the toughest conversation of the evening, outside of Ben Cunnington. Was Cameron Zerha on drugs the other night? Should he have been drug tested?
Yeah, Cam didn't have a good go. Look, I thought Cam did a lot of good things.
Yeah.
If you take his finishing out of it, I thought if you had edited the video or the footage and not shown any of the kicks, you would have gone, he had a blinder. You know, probably kicked 4, but he didn't kick any. And he could see he was frustrated. It seemed like the harder he worked, the worse he got. Just one of those nights, unfortunately. But yeah, that was, if that's his worst game, I'll accept that, because he did tackle, he did get a fair, he generated shots on goal, he got a fair bit of the ball, but boy, he just wasn't, hand and foot just were not syncing up on Sunday night.
No, it reminds me of that golfer that's doing a, you know, 3-foot putt, and he's, you know, misses that, and then all of a sudden just starts missing them all for the rest of the day. Jesse, was it just a case of Zerha missing everything in sight and an off day, or do you think this could be a problem going forward as well? Like that, this could affect him coming this Sunday as well.
That's a great question. My immediate reaction is no, it won't affect him. I thought it was I thought he was a bit off. He did have 20 disposals and he had 5 tackles, 400 metres gained. You know, I thought his defensive work was really solid. His work around the ball was solid. He just couldn't kick. He could not kick straight. And he traditionally is a pretty decent kick on goal. This year, I think he's been a tad off on his kicking in comparison to past years. It may affect him on the weekend. We know that Cam in the past has had some head problems and some issues. And I think he is the type of player that once he's on, he can be on for a period of time. He can carry that. And when he's off, he can, you know, there was that year a couple of years ago, I don't think he kicked a goal for the first 10 games or something. And then he kicked 30 in the next 10. So he's the type of player that if he has an off game, it can kind of affect him the next week. I'm hoping that's not the case. I'm hoping, you know, Clarko showed him and said, look, you actually had a really good game. It's just your kicking was off. So look, I'm not too worried about him this week. I'm worried that he might get suspended bumping a certain opposition player. But other than that, no, I'm not too worried.
A week's a long time in football, so he can turn around. He'd probably kick 5 straight because he kicked 3 behinds, but he kicked a couple that were out in the full. One didn't make the distance. So it was just a really bizarre sort of, strange sort of game from him, which sort of summed up the game, really, overall. It was a strange game. So, pretty much summed up his performance. Frank, how did you see the combination of Logue up forward with Larky? Now, Jesse sort of wasn't a big fan. He wants Logue in the back line. How do you see him?
I thought Logue actually started really brightly, and I sort of thought, look, this might work out quite well for us tonight. But then I guess the opportunities dried up, or we went back to our sort of default, kick to 30 metres out, top of the goal square type thing, and he kind of faded a little bit. I don't mind, considering the situation we found ourselves in with Coleman Jones out as well, and obviously Coleman, try something a little bit different. I didn't have a huge issue with it. Again, like Jesse said, I think he's probably best suited as that sort of intercept defender. But, his ability to go forward and take some contested marks certainly made me think that if you need to, he can always pinch hit. So I thought he did okay.
Yeah, he was all right without being great. I mean, he did, get his hands on the ball a lot and brought the ball to ground, which is probably what I expected. You know, like, I wasn't expecting miracles from a defender going, like him, to go up forward and kick six or anything like that. So, he is an option. Break glass in case of emergency, sort of option. But I wouldn't go. Yeah, I don't think, long-term, that's going to be his position. Jesse, a couple of players that did impress me in a forward line were Blake Drury on debut and Jack Marnie. Yeah. They gave the team energy, didn't they? I mean, after, previous probably 2 or 3 weeks, we've really been lacking energy. So, I thought they were fantastic.
Yeah, look, I've been a massive critic of Jack Marnie in the past. I thought he was really good. Both of them didn't have massive disposals. I think they were both mid-teens. You'd like to see them tackling a little bit more. I think they only had one tackle each or so. So you want a bit more pressure out of them. But, it's Jack's first game of the year and Drew's first game overall. But I thought they added some really good energy. In last week's episode, I obviously called to run with the small forward line. So I would have liked to have ran one more small player and not had Logue in the forward line. That's the way I obviously would have gone. But this showed adding a couple players with a bit more zip about them, a bit more energy, can kind of shake things up a little bit. I thought it made us a little bit more defensive in our forward line, even though they didn't necessarily lay the tackles. It gave us more pressure. We got to certain points of the game where we were bombing it long and it was very predictable and the opposition was able to mark it and run it out. But when the ball went to ground, those two were able to add a bit of energy. They were able to – there was a bit of zip on both of them. So, I was one that wasn't massively happy with Jack being back in the side. I've never been a massive fan. I'm not sure what he's – I've said in the past that – I'm not sure how big his upside is, but to his credit, I thought he was really, really solid. And, I'm expecting both him and, Blake Drury to get another game this week. And look, Blake in particular, I'm really keen to see what he can add. I think he was the captain of his side in the under 18s, the side that I think had Sheasel and Ashcroft in it. So he's got a good head on the shoulders. He was applying some good pressure in the VFL. He was tackling, he was getting goals. I think he's got a real upside. So I'd really like to see what we can do with him. And look, I'm happy to play Jack to try something different in the forward line, because I think we can all admit that we're having issues in that forward line. Even if we bring in another tall next week, we've said for years that the pressure is not up to standard. So, I'm happy with having some players in there who add some energy, add something different. So, kudos to those two guys.
Yeah, what about you, Frank? You happy with the Blake Drury debut?
Absolutely, Dean. I think, if anything, what it showed us is that where our list is at the moment is that the enthusiasm of youth far outweighs the experience of our elder players. So, I didn't think we lost anything by bringing those guys in. I thought, as Jesse said, I thought we looked a little bit more, a bit sharper, a little bit more energy. And I think if there was any doubt whether, it was time to play the kids and see what they've got, I think bringing in Lazaro and those boys, Drury as well, showed us that we've got nothing to lose with these kids that are running around in the twos. I was really impressed. Jack as well, put himself in some good spots defensively too. and took some marks and rebounded quite well. I thought they were both really good. Blake, I thought, started particularly well and then faded a little in the second half. But I didn't see – there was nothing there that made me think they shouldn't both hold their spot for this week.
Yeah, imagine when Kane Turner comes back in at team Frank and how potent that forward line will be.
Well, again, not to name names, Dean, but I don't think we missed half a dozen disposals and no tackles from that team on Sunday.
Yeah, probably not. Jesse, what do you think the problem is why we can't get those big scores? Is it ball movement or is it the forwards or is it just a combination of everything at the moment?
No, look, I think it's a combination. I think I've said this in the past that we don't have a lot of good distributors in our midfield. Our halfbacks, while they get a lot of the ball, bar probably Sheezel, aren't massively, you know, they're not excellent kicks of the football. So our halfbacks and our midfields aren't great distributors. That was one of the big things about not having Taron in the side, because I thought he was an excellent distributor of the football. So our ball use and our inside 50s are poor. You'd love to be able to get a proper view of the entire game or the games that we can't, that we can't go to see, or when we are going to kind of focus on the running patterns of our forwards. But look, I think it's a mix of, it really comes down to a mix of the ball use going inside 50, our availability up forward, the fact that we never invested in having a second key forward along with Larky, and that really, and then Charlie going down, we started investing really. This is the first year that we've really invested with having a second key forward in the team. And Charlie got injured and then Callum Coleman-Jones got concussion. So we're not playing an optimal forward line. We're not delivering it to them great, and then we've never had the players who can apply great pressure. So you put all of those things together, and you know, if we had players who could apply pressure, like I think you said last week, you know, Richmond won a grand final with Jack Revolt as their key forward, but all of their small forwards were elite pressure players. They could bomb the ball, they could kick the ball forward in a bit of a chaos ball fashion. So it was to no one's advantage. If Jack couldn't mark it and it went to ground, they had smalls who would pounce on the opposition or pounce on the ball. And we just don't have that. So, look, I think I've said in the past, our forward line is probably my biggest concern of all our lines at the moment. I'm still not 100% sure what our optimal mix is for a forward line.
The way we use it sometimes doesn't help them. But, at the moment, we need, more than just Nick Larky and probably Cameron Zuha to, just get all the goals for us at the moment. James Stevenson certainly has had a very good year, but we probably need a little bit more. You know, Paul Curtis has had a really down year after a promising rookie year, so he's having a bit of a second-year blues. Curtis Taylor has been so-so, not doing too much. So, it's about getting those contributions from elsewhere. I will talk about a player soon from the VFL that might be able to help us there. Now, big grudge match this week, Frank. You expecting changes this week? Would you like to see anyone else come into the team?
Probably the one that we touched on. I mean, I feel like we're killing Bambi when we say, Phillips could come in for Cunnington and maybe rest him, but that's going to be a tough conversation. And maybe Eddie Ford. I'd like to see Eddie Ford get a chance maybe and let Paul Curtis maybe have a break in the twos. He's just there, but he's not the Paul Curtis of last year, and I think Eddie Ford deserves a chance, so... I think possibly two changes wouldn't surprise me. Whether Coleman Jones comes in as well, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think Coleman Jones should be fit for this week, so that'll be interesting to see if he comes in. I assume he would, because we probably do need that second tall forward, because I don't know if Griffin Logue is going to be that long-term option. What about you, Jesse? Anyone you'd like to see come in? I mean, Eddie Ford has been mentioned a lot this week on socials the last couple of days.
Yeah, look, when... You know, I've been saying it all year. I've been saying it since the preseason. Get him in. Eddie Ford, he deserves a game. He kicked three on the weekend. He had 23 disposals. I really like him. I think he's worth a shot. He had something different to the forward. You know, he's a medium-sized forward. I'd play him. I'd absolutely play him if we're serious about giving kids in the seconds and, you know, a go after good form. Then you have to play Eddie Ford this week. He should have played round one, in my opinion. I thought he had had a good preseason. So I'm absolutely playing him. Now, in terms of the makeup, I would play Callum Coleman-Jones because assuming that his concussion is good and that he's completely fit, I play him. We have to play two key forwards going forward. We can't just have, Larky one out. It doesn't work. My changes are I'd have Callum Coleman-Jones in and I would find a way to get Eddie Ford in. In terms of the outs, as I've said, I would probably rest / put in the second Cunnington. In terms of a midfielder coming in, look, you've obviously got Greenwood, you've got Phillips. My preference would be Phillips. Some people obviously going to be annoyed about that Cunnington comment. You said it. It's an interesting one. Do we have another player who can kind of move into that midfield around the team? Do you do a like for like? Does another midfielder have to come in? I haven't settled on what I want to see from changes yet. I think my initial reaction after the game was, yeah, like I said, get Callum Coleman-Jones in, move Logue back to the back line. Then you probably have to drop one of the backmen, potentially Perez, although I'd like to see him get an extended run with it. So, look, it's going to be interesting what they do this week. I mean, Port Adelaide does have a taller forward line. Dixon and Finlayson are good. They've got a few players who can roam up there, so they're a pretty damaging team. But they're also a team with a fantastic midfield, so you need to have a strong midfield with a bit of pace to be able to play against Port Adelaide. I think the other thing we saw last week in the Port Essendon game is that Essendon tried to isolate Alir at times. So we're not going to be able to do that with just Larky as a tall forward. We want, if we've got a chance, we've got to try and isolate Alir, in my opinion, because I think he's a fantastic interceptor, but not necessarily a fantastic one-on-one player. And I think we have to have the three tall defenders against their forward line. So, look, it's going to be interesting to see what Clarko does. He's got some options, which is good. The VFL had a fantastic win, so he's got options.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we might as well talk about the VFL. They won by about 70 points. Taron Thomas was back. Looked okay in a half-back flank, 17 touches, but he'll need more of a run. Yeah, Eddie Ford, fantastic. Frank, before I go talk more about the VFL, I just had a thought occur to me. What do you think of Charlie Lazaro? Didn't really get an opportunity, just played the one quarter. Should he start maybe this week in the best and be in our best 22 if he's, we're trying to add pace through that midfield. Could he be an option?
Yeah, it could be, Dean. Yeah, I mean, it's hard, I guess. The club's got to balance up aerobically what that doesn't do for you, sitting on borders. And is he best to go back into the twos and get a full game, which is really tough on the kid. I wouldn't have a problem seeing him start and have someone else as the sub. It'd be a shame to just send him back to the twos again, unless it was simply because he didn't get the full game. But yeah, I'd like to see a bit more of him.
I agree with that one. Just to add to that, I actually had in my initial team after the weekend, I had Cunners out for getting Lazaro a full game. I'd like to see him get a go. I thought he was in good VFL form and he adds pace.
Yeah, I mean, we've also got plenty of depth in that midfield spot. I don't know if Tom Powell, how his situation is, if he'll be back this week. You've got Hugh Greenwood, Will Phillips. So there's plenty of options to go through that midfield, so it'll be interesting. Jesse, what are your thoughts on Sam Lowson? Another dominant display in the VFL, but he's 28 years old. Is that too old to be looking at him right now for a mid-season pick? He is very classy inside that forward 50.
I like him. He's got a bit of mongrel about him as well. He's got a bit of cockiness about him. I've been watching him all year since he joined us. And, you know, I think he kicked 3-3 or 3-4 or something on the weekend. He could have had a bag, and he's had another bag at least once this year. He would have kicked. He'd be in the top few goal kickers, you'd think, in the VFL. He's been very, very consistent. He was unlucky not to get a gig a few years ago. I think he was going to go pretty high in the mid-season draft, either last year or the year before, and then broke his ankle or something, I want to say, when he was at Coburg. So very unlucky. I think he should. I'm hoping he nominates. Well, one, I hope he's eligible. I read something today that apparently a heap of players aren't eligible because they didn't nominate for the draft. So I hope he's A, eligible. B, if he doesn't get a gig with North, I hope he gets a gig somewhere else, because I think he's absolutely AFL quality. There's a lot of average small forwards running around in the AFL, and you can't tell me that he's worse than them. He knows how to score. Would he fit our team? That's an interesting question. I mean, look, as you said, he is a bit older. He does add a bit of pressure. I think I've seen him lay a few tackles this year. And he lays some pretty strong tackles. He adds a bit of experience to that we don't necessarily have an experienced small forward in the team. So, look, he's definitely a chance to get a go. I don't know how many spots we've got in the mid-season draft this year, but I think he's worth a punt. He wouldn't be any worse than, you know, some of the other darts that were thrown at the board in the mid-season draft. So, yeah, absolutely. I think he'd be worth a go. And if he doesn't get a go with us, I'd love to see him go to another club.
Yeah, what about you, Frank? Are you on board with him? Now, Jesse did talk about earlier that we're sort of missing that player between 25 and 30, which he sort of fits that build. Are you on board?
Yeah, absolutely, Dean. I've been a rat for this kid. Club practice match that we played at Arden Street, and I thought I didn't know who he was, and then obviously made some inquiries and thought, geez, he looks like... obviously it's an inter-club game, but he looks like he's at that level. Then I think he kicked 5 in round 1 of the VFL, and now he's averaging just a smidge under 3 goals a game at VFL level. I think you can't ignore that. I mean, as Jesse said, teams take punts on players with far less upside or less a weaker resume than that. I think he'd be worth the punt, and we've been screaming out for a small creative forward, and he certainly seems to tick those boxes. So I'd love to see him get a go.
Yeah, and the players we have drafted in the mid-season draft, they probably haven't gone on to, you know, dominant AFL careers. I mean, I think we've got Lockie Hosey, Jacob Edwards, the jury's out on him. Who do we get last year?
Callum Dawson.
Yeah, so, and he's, yeah, and we got a left footer that never played a game for us as well. Yeah, Charlie Ham, that's the one.
Last year was a difficult one because there was obviously Massimo who went to Essendon, and I don't want to be like the majority of North supporters who threw the toys out of the cot when we didn't take him, but he kind of was exactly what we needed long-term in terms of a running quality key defender. He's very unlucky not to be playing in that Essendon team at the moment. So, yeah, we haven't been great at the mid-season draft, so I'd say.
No, we haven't produced a match-winning talent or anything like that. So, but I don't think I don't want to put too much importance in the mid-season pick, to be honest with you. That's probably what I'm saying at the end of the day. Anyways, Frank, did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, not really, Dean. Just hoping for a continued improvement this week, and I think as long as we keep improving bit by bit, I think the next hopefully isn't too far away.
Well, we certainly hope not. We're certainly hoping we can get one this week, but it might be a bit of a challenge. Jesse, you want to add anything else yourself?
Yeah, look, it'd be really good to get the win this week for a lot of different reasons. It's going to be a difficult one, like you said. It's a tough matchup. They're playing pretty decent football at the moment. It is down in Tassie. Maybe that gives us a little bit of hope. But it's going to be tough. It'll be the whole Jason Horne-Francis thing will be an interesting piece to see how the North players handle it, to see how he handles it, to see if anyone goes after him or if they just completely ignore the whole thing, which is I actually tend to think that they'll ignore the whole thing. I don't think anyone – I think maybe at the start there'll be a few bumps and then they'll get over it. The crowd will do what the crowd does. It will just be one of those things. But look, hopefully we crack in. Look, as long as we give effort, like we all said at the start, like we did in the St. Kilda game, maybe with a bit more scoring would be good. Look, as long as we give effort, that would be great.
Yeah, as long as we get a goal before half time, that'll be good too. So yeah, one step at a time though. So we don't want to jump to anything too high. So we'll see how we go. Well, Frank, thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you, Dean.
Jesse, always a pleasure, and I'm sure I'll chat to you boys next week.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
So thank you to those gentlemen for coming on the show tonight. Much appreciated. That's it for today's show. I will be back tomorrow evening with the girls once again and get their perspective on proceedings as well. Thanks to all you lovely listeners for the likes, retweets, comments you all put out for the show. It's so appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. So, and if you can leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform you use as well, that would be awesome. I did do a show earlier today, the Tuesday morning hangover. I know it was a couple of days after the game, but this morning was the only opportunity I had to do that. So unfortunately, I had to get that out a little bit later than normal, but I should be able to be back later in the week. I think we play Saturday this week, as far as I know, against Port Adelaide. So I should be able to do the Sunday morning hangover. Anyways, I'll be back tomorrow. So that's it. Tonight, I will give a shout out to David King at David King 34. Bye for now and go Roos.